you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking once again with my husband here in the studio. He was telling you a little bit about his childhood in Norway, and maybe I should tell you that we met in a very unusual way. I took two seminary students as lodgers into my home after the death of my second husband, Addison Leach, and in the providence of God, lodger number one became my son-in-law, and lodger number two became my husband. This is something that I don't think even Grace Livingston Hill or Barbara Cartland or any of those romance writers could have thought of, but God thinks up a lot of things that you and I would never imagine. Anyway, I'm very glad that Lars was looking for a room in a private home, and we're going to go back to Norway now, if you don't mind, darling.
No, not at all.
And would you please tell them about the fish soup?
Oh, the fish soup. Yes, this was a little thing that happened one evening. Of course, what I'm talking about also took place during the war, so we did not have a whole lot of choice as to what we ate at any of the meals. But one evening I came in and Moore had prepared some nice homemade fish soup. And the bowl was set down in front of me, and I did not care for fish soup. And so I decided that I would not eat it. And both my grandparents, they ate theirs, and I sat there without eating a spoonful and just looking at it. When the meal was over, then my grandmother said, well, you'll just have to sit there until you decide that you want to eat it. So I sat there, and the longer I sat, I guess the more hard-headed I got that I was not going to eat that soup. And all of a sudden, I don't know, I suppose it's the devil that puts these things into your mind or eyes, because all of a sudden I looked over on the stove and I realized that the soup pot was sitting on the stove, and I looked at the pot and I looked at my plate and decided that the easiest thing would be to tiptoe over there and pour my soup back into the pot, which I did, and sat back down. And I was rather smart and not saying anything, but I just continued sitting there, and finally Moore came out, and she said, oh, she said, have you finished the soup? And I said, yes. Well, she said, fine, now you can go from the table, and the rest of the evening went normally, and I went to bed. The next morning when I got up for breakfast, there was a cold plate of fish soup sitting in a bowl in front of my place. So, of course, I asked how come I was getting fish soup, and Moore asked me, she said, did you eat the fish soup last night? And I said, yes. And she just looked at me then and said, Lars, I was behind the door.
Be sure your sins will find you out.
So, of course, rather than taking my spoon and eating it then and saying I'm sorry and forgive me, why, I decided I didn't need any breakfast either. So off I went to school, and at lunchtime when I came back, there was the soup in the plate, and it was the most delicious bowl of cold fish soup that I've ever had, and I've always enjoyed fish soup ever since.
You were hungry by that time.
I was hungry. And I never had any problem about eating anything else during that time or really after that. But it was strange.
Okay, now tell us about the business that you and your cousin, no, not you and your cousin, it was you and Bjarne. Was it Bjarne?
No, it wasn't Bjarne, it was Björg. It was family business.
Oh, okay, tell them about the family business.
Well, Björg is the same, my cousin, who I grew up with and is like a sister to me. And
she's the one that made that beautiful sweater you're wearing.
We love to get together and talk over things, but we were inseparable when we were young, although she lived 7 miles out in the country, but I would go out there and she would come into town to see me. But during the war, of course, people who smoked were in a strait trying to find tobacco. And so we hit upon a very lucrative business. What we would do, we would go down on one of the streets. We specialized in the street that's called Dronningensgade. It's the Queen Street, and I guess that was the first-class street. It's a place where all the people walked on Sundays. And we would look for cigarette butts on the sidewalk. And we were very discreet about this. We would walk along and see one, and then we'd drop something. And as we picked up whatever we dropped, we would also pick up what we called a snipe, or the cigarette butt. Then we would take it home and very carefully take off the paper and snip off any burnt tobacco strands and then put the loose tobacco into a can. And this would be great pipe tobacco or roll-your-own tobacco. So we had regular customers. We just peddle that stuff right in our own block, and we were never at a lack for customers, and we ran that business pretty good.
Did you ever try it?
Oh, yes. I had a few puffs every now and then, but I think that's leading up into another incident that you know about. Is that what you're getting at with Bjarne?
Yes, tell us about Bjarne.
Well, not to confuse Björg and Bjarne. Björg was my cousin and Bjarne was my best buddy. He was not in the business, though, but we were the best of chums. And somehow one day, I guess we'd had a falling out. And whether it was that particular day or the day before that I had been smoking some of my own tobacco, I was in the house, and about the time my grandfather was coming back from the lumber mill, I heard a voice coming through the wall. The house is over there right next to the sidewalk, and I was in the front room, and so you could hear whatever was set out on the sidewalk. But I heard this voice hollering very loudly, saying, "Las Rega, Las Rega." And he continued this. Well, what it means is that Lars smokes. So, of course, fear was put into me, and I got sort of trying to find a place to hide. And I heard my grandfather coming in, and I knew that he had heard Bjarne. So it didn't take him long to find me, and he said to me, he said, "Hva det jeg hører deg?" Which means, "What is it that I hear about you? Har du røyget?" And I said, "Have you smoked?" And I said, "Well, yes, I did confess." It was not like the soup incident. I did confess to the fact that I had smoked. So always before, when I got a spanking, why, it was standard practice. We had birch branches in the closet, and I would have to go and get them and then bring them to my grandfather, and then you have to put your pants down, and then you get the whipping, and then you hang back at the birch branches. But this was the only time that he took me outside of the house, and we walked around the back of the church. And why he did this, I don't know, but we went out underneath a plum tree. And there I received probably the worst spanking that I ever had, but it certainly put a short end to my smoking days.
You knew very well what your grandfather thought about smoking, didn't you?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And it wasn't as though he was punishing you for something that you did not know was naughty.
No, I deserved every bit of it. And I always have said that I can remember numerous spankings that I got from my grandfather, but I can never remember one that I didn't deserve. And I can never remember one that I looked back at with anger about it. He had every right to, and he loved me, and it was done in a marvelous way.
Did you have any doubt that he loved you?
No, not a bit.
Never any doubt. They really stick in your mind, don't they?
Oh, wonderful.
We do get some flack on this program when we talk about spankings. And I certainly have some very vivid recollections of some of the spankings that I got from my mother. She put me over her knee and gave me a spanking with a hairbrush a couple of times. It was a silver-backed hairbrush. And I feel just the way you do, that I deserved it, and I knew I deserved it. And there's something about a child's moral sense, I think, the conscience that God gives us, don't you think?
I think so.
Makes them realize that they really need to be punished. And there's something that outrages their sense of justice if they don't get punished. Would you agree?
I would agree. I think that we expect it. And if you don't get it for doing something that you know is a violation, you have a feeling of there's something wrong here, that I can do this and get away with
confusion
it.
Confusion.
And it's confusion is what it amounts to. So I'm all for it if it's done the right way. And we've got an awful lot of friends that talk about this too. And the fact if you can do the spanking, he never did it in anger. He didn't do it in anger, and he never overdid it, and he never hit me in the face. He never slapped me. He never did anything like that. I mean, it was one place. It was the birch branches, and it was the behind, and that was it.
What is a birch branch? What
birch tree? It's just a twig.
What size?
What size? Well, it's.
Was it a branch with twigs on it, so that it was sort of like a
broom? Not a thick branch. It was the very thin ones that had a little snap to them. But
supple.
It looks a little bit like the old-time sweeping brushes that they used to have, only not so big.
Mm-hmm. But it sure stung your hind end.
Oh, it did. It did. Mm-hmm. It did. And it sure made me quit.
Well, thanks, Lars. This is my husband, Lars, that you've been hearing. And we're going to get around in a later talk to finding out where he gets this strange accent that certainly is not a Norwegian one.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.